And good morning. It is a Wednesday, 9:06 a.m. I am joined by Mr. Eric Tisland. He is the Community Development and Parks Director for the City of Burlington. Mr. Tisland, nice to have you on the show today.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
It would be City Council Day, but members of the City Council are at the Capitol for Southeast Iowa Days. So, Eric, it's nice to have you here. We're going to talk about some of the parks projects going on in Burlington. I think the big thing right now is the Dankwart Park Playground project.
Yeah, that's correct. We just presented to Council on Monday kind of an update of where we're at on that, and we're pretty excited from the city and park standpoint to bring this project forward and see it completed, hopefully, maybe by the end of the year.
Maybe, but for anybody who missed the City Council meeting on Monday, if you could walk us through some of the basics on the project.
So we're looking to update and replace the existing playground in Dankwart Park, which is our active park, have a lot of amenities there. And that wooden playground structure is kind of past its useful lifespan. It's 30-plus years old, had a lot of deterioration and had some amenities removed over the years just as it got older. And so it's something that we still see a lot of people use, but it's in need of kind of some upgrades, so we're looking to do a major overhaul and bring in some new equipment to that location.
You would think, like, wooden playgrounds, I remember playing on those when I was a little kid, but even when I was younger, they tend to deteriorate a little bit quicker than a lot of the steel or aluminum, whatever metal they use, metal ones, I'll say. But how does that project and other projects figure into the city's budget? Because I know budget meetings are still going on at this point.
We've had this planned in the CIP for the last couple of years. We've continued to kind of move it forward in the CIP. Just takes a while to develop plans, work with some consultants on it, work with community input, and raise enough funds to get it accomplished. So it's been on the radar from the park standpoint for 5-6 years. Been on the planning from the budget standpoint the last couple years, and we've continued to move it forward. And hopefully now we have some funds in the budget, not enough to complete everything we want to do. So we're going to be doing some grant writing, seeking some funds through foundations and from the community to try and build that support for it.
So has there been a lot of public opinion on this? Like, have people reached out and said that this park needs to be improved or...
Yeah, we get comments as we've had to remove different amenities from it. Got people wondering, where'd it go? Can you bring it back? And as things kind of deteriorate, but also just being kind of that signature playground in our signature park, just wanting something that everyone can use. And it's not a fully accessible playground right now. We did some public input last fall, had an online survey and an open house at the playground, and got a lot of good feedback at that point.
You just want to make sure everything's to everyone's liking, make sure it's available for everybody.
Yeah.
That's a really great mindset to have. And another project I remember going on at Dankwart Park was the pools. Any further updates on that?
We've done a lot of updates to the pool over the last few years. Did a new roof on the pool house, a new liner in the pool shell, some concrete upgrades around the deck, some fencing, so added some shade structures last summer as well. So we've done a lot to maintain that, again, aging facility, try and continue to make it a positive and good amenity for the community for many years to come. And hopefully people that haven't been out there might not realize all the upgrades that have happened there. And it's kind of your traditional swimming pool. It's not a doesn't have all the slides and all the bells and whistles, but it's a good pool for swimming and kids to come out and have fun at.
Yeah, I imagine that'd be a big project because, correct me if I'm wrong, public pools seem like it's a lot of upkeep work just to keep them both usable and safe.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that aren't seen, the pumps and the filters and all those things that we continue to upgrade and maintain, but the things that people see, that those are things that we've been able to upgrade with the liner, where you're not walking on old hard concrete, and the pool deck that's not cracking now. And so we tried to maintain what we have the best that we can.
And are a lot of these projects due to either be finished or start up again? Because obviously right now weather is a huge factor.
Yeah.
And not a lot of work around the city in general is getting done. So
yeah, we have a lot of park staff out removing snow right now. They still do that during the winter in the parks and sidewalks and areas, but we're also gearing up for spring, especially don't quite see it today, but gearing up for leagues and tournaments at the Recplex and golf course. So Encourage people to check out those sites. We have leagues starting in April at the Recplex. You can call or stop out at the Recplex to sign up for those. Season passes are available at the golf course. That's hopefully right around the corner. So we're doing a lot of preparation for anticipating this spring season and getting people back to the parks.
The Recplex seems like a really, really big part of what Parks and Rec does for the city of Burlington. And any sort of tentpole events out there this spring that you'd want to highlight?
Looking at our normal leagues that we have, trying to do some new leagues, partnering with some area facilities in Fort Madison for some youth leagues, but a lot of tournaments that we've had year after year, and bring in some new ones. Kind of every weekend there's a new tournament or different tournament for youth, and encourage people just to go out and check that out. Signature one that a lot of people know is a Monster Match in the fall. Brings 150 plus teams from around the area, around the states, into the community. So it can have a big draw.
Sorry, what sport is this?
That's soccer.
Soccer, yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. And when you say new tournaments, do you mean new sports or just expanding existing sports tournaments or all of the above?
We focus on softball, baseball, soccer are the big ones. We have volleyball leagues, but just different tournaments, maybe different weekends or different directors for those tournaments. But we have continued to have a lot of success with some of the past people that have brought in tournaments to the community.
And it's does Parks do a lot of like part-time summer and seasonal, except seasonal and part-time help and just general community upkeep?
Yeah, that's a big one that we're focusing on right now. We've had our full-time park staff year-round is pretty minimal. So our seasonal staff that we bring in 9 months of the year, 3 months of the year, that's really what drives a lot of our operations. And getting those people in to work at our parks, at the Recplex, the golf course, just our parks in general, mowing and maintaining those is critical to us being able to operate and have a quality facility. And that's been a challenge the last few years, as a lot of other businesses see as well.
And what exactly are the parameters or qualifications to volunteer as part-time help for the city and the Parks Department?
Submit an application to the City of Burlington. A lot of the jobs, they're 40-hour-a-week jobs, Monday through Friday at our parks facilities. Golf course and Recplex, obviously, have weekends and nights and different hours, so there's some flexibility there. But generally just need to be able to, whether it's operate a lawnmower or be able to do concessions or sales counter at the Recplex or golf course. So just capable people that are willing to show up every day is the biggest thing that we're looking for and represent us in a positive manner.
Seems, reminds me of a lot of my old summer jobs back in high school. That seems like, do you get a lot of applicants from students looking for summer work in that regard?
Depends on the facility. Obviously, the pool is a bigger one for that. We get all ages, all ranges. We know for high school students, they may have some restrictions on other activities that they're involved in. And some of our operations need that 7:30 to 4, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. So we are flexible, certainly, in what people's schedules are, but we do need help to make these operations go.
Absolutely. Eric Tislin, Community Development and Parks Director for the City of City of Burlington. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Eric after this. Pardon my lack of ability to speak English. 915 at KBUR.
An advisor, a mentor, a motivator, a teacher. He goes by many names, but most of us call him Coach. Get the scoop from the man himself as he runs down the last game and previews the one ahead, as well as answering questions from fans like you. It's all right here on Hawk Talk with Fran McCaffrey.
Don't miss Hawk Talk with Fran McCaffrey this Wednesday night at 7 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good. Really good. So good, you gotta try it. With Straight Talk, you can get our Silver Unlimited plan for just $45 a month. Now with unlimited high-speed data, plus 5 gigabytes hotspot data, and no contract, with nationwide 5G on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot for your data when you can get unlimited for a whole lot less? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
Limu and Doug.
Check it out, Limu, a roadside carnival.
Step right up, folks. Test your strength.
Come see the fire-breathing baby.
Let's fan out and tell people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Look! An emu wearing sunglasses!
Limu, you're famous. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Of the two certainties in life, let's focus on taxes for a moment. Our family-owned tax business has succeeded by giving families just like yours the best refunds plus the lowest filing fees. Families have been trusting us not for 2 or 3 years, but 2 or 3 generations. Henry Tax and Accounting charges you by the forms required, which means you only pay for what you need, unlike the national preparers. Get the best refund. Henry Tax and Accounting in fabulous Carmen, Illinois. Find us on Facebook. We'll fill your pockets, not stretch them.
Are you ready to start planning your next vacation? Direct flights between Burlington, Iowa and St. Louis or Chicago O'Hare begin February 1st, 2022. Daily service on Cape Air is affordable and convenient from Burlington, with flights starting at just $39 each way to St. Louis and $49 each way to Chicago O'Hare. Parking at the Burlington Airport is free with service beginning February 1st. Book your next trip at capeair.com.
.918 at KBUR. Welcome back. We're joined once again by Eric Tislin, Community Development and Parks Director for the City of Burlington. And Eric, we were discussing briefly during the break some building developments going on downtown. It just seems like with the Tiger Project and everything, Jefferson Street is just on the rise again.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of development. We have a great stock of older buildings downtown on Jefferson and off of Jefferson, so we've seen a lot of development recently and a lot hopefully coming up in the near future as well.
I think one of the big ones people ask about a lot is the new Tama building.
Yep.
And I remember I was speaking with John Billups on Monday, the mayor of the city, and he was talking about how they're starting to put up foundations and starting to put up steel, and that's going to be a big development.
Yeah, that's going to be key for downtown. It's on a very prominent corner there. That's been sitting empty for quite a number of years now, and they were so close before the fire unfortunately happened that I know a lot of people want to see that move forward and be completed, and they're making good progress now, starting getting some steel rising up out of the ground.
And that's going to be both a business and residential building, as I understand.
Yeah, a lot of the development downtown is seeing first floor commercial, whether that's retail, office space, or restaurant, and then upper story residential. So we're adding a lot of new residents to the downtown.
One of which was the old police department building, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. They've submitted all their plans. Those have all been reviewed through the development process and approved, and just waiting for them to move forward and start construction. I know it's not an ideal time, but I guess recently we've seen a lot of construction start in the winter, so hopefully looking forward to seeing that in the next month or so.
Well, obviously not getting anything done today with the snowfall, but it seems like starting construction projects in the winter has got to be a pain because it's a lot of sitting and waiting just so you can do things. But it really is really cool for me because I moved to Burlington fairly recently, only a couple of years ago, and it was after a lot of these development projects were even proposed. And seeing a lot of them come to fruition is really, really cool.
Yeah, it is. And we've seen, I guess, the planning process and the submittal process that might start in the spring and hoping they're going to start sooner. But anymore, it seems a project can start any time of year. And just seeing those kind of start out of the ground and see new life to some of these vacant lots and underutilized areas are really great for the community.
Exactly. How involved is your department with a lot of these more urban developments in the city?
The biggest thing is just plan review, working with the developers and architects on their building plans, making sure they meet all the applicable codes for safety, fire hazards, and occupancy. So that's quite a process, working through the architects and working on their building plans. But once they're complete and ready to go, we do our inspections and make sure everything's done according to how they submitted, and so that we have some safe units downtown that for people to live in and come down to. So
I believe the latest instance of inspections I saw related to the Tiger Project was people's basements being inspected to make sure none of the road developments would affect any vital businesses downtown.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of historic buildings downtown. Fortunately, a lot of our downtown's designated as a National Register Historic District, which opens up opportunities for grants and tax credits, but also means they're older buildings. So if you have some ground vibrations and disturbances, we want to make sure if there are issues with foundations or other things with that project that they can be addressed properly and those buildings remain safe and can continue on.
It does seem like in terms of historic structures, there's a lot of hoops to jump through just to get any sort of development done. And obviously the big example of that in Burlington is, of course, Cascade Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess with the historic designation, there are some hoops to jump through for development. That does open up a lot of tax credits, federal and state tax credits, but if you don't use those tax credits for building, then there aren't really much hoops to jump through. So if you're using your own funds or loans or otherwise, then you don't have to maybe meet what the state says you have to do. But if you do want to take federal or state monies, then you do have to follow kind of what their recommendations and what their guidelines are for those buildings or structures like the bridge.
I use Cascade Bridge as an extreme example because I remember that was one of the biggest talking points when I first moved here was they had just shut it off to foot traffic,
mm-hmm.
and people were upset because it's the most direct route to the park, which is true, but also it's deteriorating in some ways, and it seems like a lot of the work was to get it removed from the historic registry so it could be demolished.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like quite the battle, and there's obviously people out there who don't want it demolished. They either want it left up in a bridge next to it, or they want it repaired, or this and that. But it's just such a fickle situation when you're dealing with anything historic.
Yeah, there's a lot of different opinions, a lot of different avenues to go, but everyone seems to have different opinions and are very passionate about a lot of the historic buildings and structures in our community that really represent a lot of what we are as a community.
Absolutely. Getting back to parks a little bit more here, is there any other large, big events going on in terms of the Parks Department?
Just really gearing up for a lot of our opening days for, like I said, the Recplex Golf Course. We have a summer camp that starts once school's out, and the pool starting once school's out. The playground project is our really big project, as we mentioned, and hopefully in the next month or so we'll be getting out to the community to present what the playground concept is, what we're looking to do, and trying to really get some community support and community funding for the project so that we can see it through. It is going to be an accessible, inclusive playground with some surfacing and some handicap accessible events on it. So a lot of those things cost additional dollars, and a lot of the amenities that we're looking at, we don't realize how expensive some of these commercial playground structures and rubber surfaces are, so we're going to really drive home that we need community support to see this through.
You mentioned summer camps starting up. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
So we offer a city summer camp through Perkins Park during the summer once school's out. That's been ongoing for a number of years. We've had great attendance at it. Kind of been down the last couple years with COVID, but seen a rise this past year, and have a lot of great feedback from that of kids generally first through fifth grade that can come and enjoy the parks and enjoy a lot of the things that we can offer through that summer camp. But it's a Monday through Friday camp that we've had a lot of great success with.
And just so there's no confusion, I am going to be that guy here. In terms of the summer camps, is there any sort of mask or vaccination rules?
There is not. The first year we did try and separate into smaller pods. This past year got a little bit back to normal a little bit more, and so we're proceeding in that direction of come and enjoy the park and be outside most of the time. So we're fortunate to be in Perkins Park where we can be outside a lot.
I know it's a topic that's really become tiresome, but people are definitely going to have those types of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And make their decision based on that. Has COVID really been that big of an issue for the Parks Department in general?
Not generally, just because we are a lot of outdoor activities. The biggest one was the Recplex in 2020. A lot of the tournaments were shut down for a few months to start. We have seen a lot more attendance at our golf course the last couple of years. A lot more people have kind of come back to golf or found golf and seen our number of rounds are up considerably. And so that's an outdoor activity that people can do and enjoy and not have some of those concerns of you're out on an 18-hole course by yourself or with a couple friends or come to the parks and walk and enjoy. So we're fortunate that our parks have seen a lot of increase over the last couple of years, and hopefully that trend continues because they're great amenities, great for your health, and just overall well-being.
They are absolutely fantastic. My personal favorite feature would be at Dankwart Park. I love the disc golf course.
Yes, we've seen a lot of increase with that. We have some tournaments throughout the summer that some groups put on, and that's been a great amenity for us in the Dankwart Park.
Well, lots of various goings-on in the Parks Department. Eric Tislin, he is the Director of Community Development and Parks Director for the City of Burlington. I want to thank you very, very much for joining me here today, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And it's a pleasure. 927 at KBUR.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 14.